Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Polling.
Here's John Williams.
Schmolling. Hi, it's John. Domati just did that story. They say that maybe the House will flip next Tuesday. I say polling.
Lord have mercy.
Schmolling. We're live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. Thanks for tuning in. We're here weekdays till 3. Saturdays, this means tomorrow. We're on from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. I hope you join us for our Saturday show, which returns. We've been preempted either by vacations or Northwestern Wildcat football featuring Dave Ennett. Love you, Dave, but I'm happy to get back in the saddle with Domati Pongo and Griffin Filipich and Joe Brand.
We miss you.
I almost forgot his name. Yeah, it's been a while since the whole group's been together. We have fun on. Promise me you're working tomorrow, Dominator.
Yeah, I'll be here.
So you said that the polling says that the House is probably going to flip. And I know Nancy Pelosi was asked about this, and she's the head of the Democratic Party, so she's supposed to say yes, but I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want to hear it's going to go one way or the other, or it's going to stay the same. Let's just all go out and vote. I have no confidence in anybody's polls, even though I'm kind of a science and math geeky guy. I don't believe any of those. It gives me no calm or, I mean, by the way, go ahead and put it in the news. I'm not telling you guys how to do your job. It just seems to me as though I'll see it when I believe it.
You know, I've always wondered, do you think when we do these stories about polling and what we might see next week, do you think that affects voter turnout?
I wonder. I sure wonder. I wonder if in the last election in 2016, if, you know, the certainty that Hillary was going to win kept some folks from voting for Hillary. That probably doesn't make any sense. I don't know, Domati.
No, some people say that. Some people say folks were like, oh, she's going to win anyway. I'll sit this one out.
Yeah.
Especially in Democratic states.
Yeah, said somebody in Wisconsin. Heck, Minnesota. Minnesota, the San Francisco of the Midwest, almost went red in the last election. So we'll see. So listen to the news, make your most informed judgments, and then do vote on Tuesday. We'll do special coverage Tuesday night with Patty Vasquez, with the gang from the WGN Radio Newsroom, and, of course, with Andrea Darlis, too. Patty and Andrea killing it in the evenings here on WGN Radio. Speaking of politics,
Halloween is over, but I've been having this terrible dream about an orange-headed monster chasing me, spewing poison. Then I realized I was watching CNN.
That sounds like late-stage Trumpitis.
I had another dream that evil people were controlling my brain and putting terrible thoughts in it.
Actually, that is CNN. And all of this is a classic case of politosis, high anxiety from too much politics.
Isn't there some sort of all-natural wonder drug that I can take?
Now there is. Now there's Eurelium Life 9000.
Eurelium. What's Eurelium?
Eurelium is a new proprietary wonder drug cooked up by an ethnically blended group of serious people in lab coats. In New Jersey.
Well, I have achy aches.
We've got that covered.
And upset stomach.
It'll handle that.
Headaches, anxiety.
Yep.
Bleeding gums. My hair is falling out. I lost a toe at work. I have no idea where that is.
Yeah, well,
Thursday, I burped up a small frog. Tell me what that's all about.
Well, let me see here. It didn't really.
I'm speaking in tongues, and I've got a rash on my rash.
Well, maybe a double dose, some rest.
I'll take Eurelium Hoagie if you have one.
Take Eurelium Life 9000 as a pill, capsule, liquid, gel cap, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, arm patch, chewable briquette, ointment, powder, suppository, or ask about our all-new, completely experimental home epidural kit.
And the Hoagie?
Yeah, sure. We'll throw one together.
And it's gluten-free, right?
You're a lot of work, aren't you?
Always, always, always follow label directions. Close cover before striking. NLMS ID number 23, skidoo, yabba-dabba-doo.
One last note about politics here, and that is on our Mincing Rascals podcast, we're encouraging you to be, as Elif said, the producer, one of the rascals. We are encouraging you to ask questions, make comments, or tell us what you do and don't want to hear on the Mincing Rascals podcast, judged this year to be the best podcast in the city of Chicago. It features our Steve Bertrand, Patty Vasquez, Justin Kaufman, yours truly, and then from the Tribune, editorial cartoonist Scott Stannis and columnist Eric Zorn, who you hear once in a while in these parts. So we all get together, or some combination of us, on Thursdays. We just put our podcast up last night, including a tutorial on how you can voice message the Rascals and ask a question, make a comment, and we'll respond in the next pod. Remember, it's the Mincing Rascals. Wherever you get your finer podcasts, it sure is free. You want to remember to set your clocks back this weekend. It's going to be darker than in the evening, right? And a little lighter in the morning.
Well, you know, John, you were talking earlier about school bus crashes.
I'm about to, yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it. You know, it'll be next week at this time, it'll be daylight when those kids are standing in the dark waiting for the school bus.
Say that again.
The children who were struck in Indiana, it would have been an hour more daylight, so it would have been more likely to have been brighter.
Brighter for them then.
So others can see kids the morning waiting for hours, the buses.
Yeah. But you pay the price of the other half of the day, right? So this means, I always do this, I go, okay, at dusk, say at 5 o'clock, now that'll be 4 o'clock. So it will be darker earlier, but it will be then in the morning when you're standing at the bus stop, say at 6:30 or 7, and it's currently dark. It'll be lighter in the morning, but darker in the evening. So I don't know. So you see what I'm saying,
yeah,
Steve?
I do,
evening.
But kids aren't going home from school in the dark in the afternoon generally, unless they're in sports or things like that. You know, they're leaving at 3 o'clock, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right, that's true.
Daylight.
Well, look at the numbers on this right now. I mean, hold on a minute. Here's the headlines. When I just Google school bus accidents, CBS News, school bus stop crashes kill 5 in 3 days amid, quote, huge problem with distracted driving. From a TV station, Care 11 in Minneapolis, kids hit in 6th accident at bus stops in 3 days. Chicago Tribune, 3 hours ago, school bus accidents draw attention, but for how long? And we've had 5, I know, crashes with death or injury in the last week, maybe 6, depending on how the TV station in Minneapolis is scoring it. And I suppose it's an anomaly. I mean, these things happen, but boy, they've been bunched up lately. And maybe Steve's right. It's the days are shorter right now, and that's a complication. I heard Bill and Wendy talking about this the other day, though. And the stories I've been seeing on TV about this lately show this. People just zooming around school buses. I mean, it's not that they don't see the kids, they don't, but it's that they're zooming around the school buses to begin with. It's amazing how much video is out there of a kid getting off the bus, walking around the front of it, and then there goes a car, and it almost hits the kid. Sometimes it does. I don't know what you've seen out there as a parent, as a driver, or as a school bus driver, but I'm kind of interested. And is it that? Is it that? I don't know, but I suspect a lot of people are looking at their phones around school buses. I also, though, when I drive in Chicago, if I'm behind a school bus, you know, every block it's almost a stop sign or a light. And you, if you ever have a chance to move around it, I'm apprehensive because I don't know, you know, I think I can pass a school bus, right? But I can't if it's stopped or if the arm is out or it's flashing its lights. You know, we roll our eyes at the people that don't know the rules about school buses, but I can't promise you that I'd get 100% on a test about this. So what I tend to do is not do anything. I'll be damned if I'm going to pass a school bus, even if I can. And then that gets the people behind me annoyed. And some people, I think, honestly think they can, and that's when they hit a kid. Here's the thing. Maybe you can in some instances, whatever the situation is, but that doesn't mean that the kid is going to be looking out. The video I saw on TV this morning, it was the kid who walked in front of a car, right? So shame on the car. I mean, they didn't see, but the kid didn't either. So as a defensive driver, you just have to assume that the kids, even if you have the right of way, might not be paying attention. I frequently drive by Lane Tech, and then there's a couple of schools before that, and it's chaos on the streets and sidewalks. Kids are talking. They've got their buds in. They're not listening. They're looking at their phone. I'm just wondering what you have seen out there and what you think is going on. My number is 312-981-7200. This is Steve. You're on WGN Radio. Steve, what can I do for you?
Hi, John. I have to tell you, I'm a retired truck driver, and I live in Addison. That makes me. But you know what? Here's two crossing guards with their flashing stop signs. The kids come out of school and they run. Excuse me. They run right across the street. They don't stop. They don't wait for the crossing guard to give them the go ahead. They just run. They just take right off. And I'm telling you, daily I see it where they almost get killed. And it's awful at what's going on in this country. And being a truck driver, I always stop behind and in front of school buses. But people just don't stop anymore. It's like the law doesn't exist. It's awful.
That's a really interesting observation. All right. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you for joining us here, Steve. I'm going to go from you to Mark. You're on WGN. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi there, John. Yes, I'm a freelance news reporter, and I just did a story for your radio station down in Plano, Illinois, and I found out, looking at five largest school districts in that Kendall County area, the transportation directors are reporting like 3 to as many as 10 violations a week on their buses. And back in 2013, Illinois lawmakers approved cameras for the outside of buses trying to nab these passing motorists. And they go right below the stop arms that come out. The problem is, as usual in Springfield, the lawmakers did not provide funding to the local school districts
for that. The bus drivers are seeing this. You said a big increase.
Yeah.
And the problem is that not the students are neglecting the, you know, rules, but that the drivers are, huh?
Right, and they can tell when the driver's, you know, going to pass them from the front, and that is usually, you know, they're not slowing down. And from the back, they can tell because the drivers are trying to creep out to pass them. And those stop arms, the Pennsylvania company that I researched they mount a metal plate to the fleet of the buses, and then one camera can be attached and rotated to different buses on those problem routes. And the cost is only $2,200 a bus, but depending if the software is compatible with the school district, that price can go as high as $7,000 per bus.
But that arm is what corrals the kids, keeps the kids from going around? Is that what you're saying? Or it's
No, that's a stop arm. They call them stop arm violations. It's the stop sign that comes out, and there's, you know, four flashing lights.
Right.
And I was on the road yesterday at about 6:30, and you know, trucks coming on Route 47 looked a lot like buses in traffic. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, because of the anticipated time change, buses have been pulling out with kids. I saw one bus at 6:45 with a bunch of grade school kids in the complete darkness. So that's one problem also there.
You're at WSPY in Plano, Illinois.
That's it, your old station, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I got to make a tour of that place. I saw that the mayors of Plano and Sandwich did a Plano Sandwich event. Is that right?
That's right, where they have those thick bologna sandwiches. They're probably half-inch, quarter-inch thick bologna that's grilled and with onions and things like that every October.
Yeah, no kidding. Sounds good. Come down and visit us here sometime. I appreciate your thoughts on this topic, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, stay well. That's where I got my start, WSPY Plano. I used to play Spyo Bingo on WSPY. Nick, you're on WGN. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Nick. What do you want to say?
I actually had something to say. I wanted to say that, like, I feel like it's 100% up to adults. I think kids, they come out of school, they see, like, all the, you know, they see all the crossing guards, they see all the instructions, and all they do is follow instructions. So, like, I think it's 100% up to adults and anyone in charge, because they just walk around and they trust everything around them. You know, they don't think too much about it. They just look and see their path. And if anyone, you know, gets in their way, I think it's their fault. And the kids are just doing what they're told.
Now, you got to figure the kids aren't going to be as aware as they should be. It's up to the adults. Nick, thanks for the phone call. From you to John, you're on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I want to give an example where the arms don't always help. I was stopped for a school bus with its flashing red lights on and headed toward the bus. Well, the car following the bus decided to go around the bus on the shoulder while the bus driver was letting the children next to the door. They would almost need an arm on the back of the bus also to prevent that.
Yeah.
And that was pure stupidity of the driver.
Yeah, no kidding. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, no, not at all.
Thanks for
I can't always feel that it's these kids' responsibility running out in front of buses. They're not paying attention. This was absolutely a driver not paying attention.
Thanks for the phone call, John. Judy, you're on the air. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi. Yes, I want to tell you, my daughter's a school bus driver in a different state, and she reported over 500 people that had gone around her bus, and only one got a slap on the wrist.
I saw a story where they do sting
on these people at all.
Some places do sting operations now. You know, the cops will park a school bus on the side of the road or put it in a lane of traffic, and then as people go around it illegally, they just start pulling them over left and right. Maybe we need to do, I hate those sting operations, but maybe that's the education everybody needs, huh?
I think something has to be done. Yes, this has gotten way past, because I see them every day when the school buses are, you know, leaving off kids. The people just keep zipping around them like they don't even care.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. My best to your daughter, who's the school bus driver. Then you got that young woman, 24 years old in Indiana, who hit and killed that girl and her twin brothers who were younger. And that's just a story that's tragic on every way. And so she's going to have her day in court. And I feel so bad for that family. And I also feel bad for this 24-year-old woman. I do not see the value in putting her in jail forever. I forget what the charges are against her. It's you know, negligent homicide, and I don't know what the possible jail sentence is for that, but I think it's pretty long, particularly when it's three kids. And, you know, I can see them making an example out of this young lady, and I don't know what her driving history is. But if she just had this one lapse where she did something stupid or negligent, I don't know how long she's supposed to go to jail. Maybe she goes to jail for life. That'll teach everybody, but I don't think it will. And so I don't know what to do, you know, because if you don't give her a thorough, long sentence, then what does that say about the value of those kids' lives? But putting her in jail for a long time doesn't seem to accomplish much to me either.
I think everyone just needs to slow down and realize that we're operating a large vehicle when we're on the roads. I think we all get in our heads, we're rushing somewhere, we're not thinking. And I mean, there are consequences to, you know, things can change in an instant when you're moving at those speeds.
You know what I see more now than I used to be is people running stop signs or red lights. And I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, but boy, I see a lot of that these days. I mean, like literally when I got a green or when I have the right to go, you do not want to be behind me because I'll go slower than you like. I see that a lot. You see that too, Ms. Garris? You don't live that far from me. People running stop signs, people running red lights. I see
all
that all the time. And I don't know if that's a city thing or not, but doggone it. It's 1:28. News is next. Afterwards, remember yesterday we got in that big, long, hairy conversation about whether or not you should wear a face mask, who wears them and why, to keep yourself from getting the cold or the flu on the airplane, stuff like that. Okay, I've got some questions for a doctor after the news, and that's next. Thank you, Steve. John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the music that matters. What are you doing here, Producer Ella?
I'm playing a new song by Clean Bandit, which features Marina and the Diamonds, who I'm obsessed with.
I thought it was Shakira.
Sound a little Shakira. Crank it. If you're watching us online and we stream video of the shows, you are now seeing me do the Egyptian.
Yeah.
Which I don't think people do anymore.
No, really. A lot of people never did.
I've never been good at it. My hands look weird when I do it.
I
they look like
ducks. I
think
I can pull
ducks.
It off. Last comments about our last topic, and that was school buses and people not paying attention. The kids, the drivers, we've got a problem in America. John, wouldn't it be cool if the buses could be equipped with the equivalent of a red light camera? And if the bus saw someone passing against the law, all they do is hit a button, record it, and the person gets a ticket in the mail. This from 573. Hey, John, the bus situation's gotten so bad in the Quad Cities, a lot of the buses now have cameras on them. And if you go around them, you do essentially end up with a red light camera ticket. 630 said, I generally don't like sting operations either, but I would have a hard time feeling bad for people who got pulled over and ticketed for passing a school bus. They have it coming. And this from 815. My husband works road construction, and he said it's the adults on the phones texting a lot more than the teens. 708 said, I agree with Violetta. I see drivers ignoring ambulances, fire trucks, barely stopping at stop signs all the time. We were talking earlier about the polling that's going on right now, and, you know, a lot of people say that the House is going to go blue. And I said polling schmolling. I don't believe any of it. Just go out and vote, and we'll see what happens. 815 texted in and said, John, it's going red. People are fed up with the constant negativity coming from the liberal left. The negative badgering didn't work in 2016, and it will not work in 2018, says 815. I read that to say this, and then we're just going to move on for now. But that is, to those of you that think that, and I don't know what the liberal left is that Democrats or is that the media? But if you're lumping it all in as one, Democrats are partisan. So, of course, they're going to say negative things. But I'm at a loss these days to fully appreciate the people who say that the media is too hard on the president. I'm not talking about talk shows, although hopefully those are informed. But if you're saying that the news coverage of the president is unfair, do this, and really, I'm serious about this, you will do me a great service. Start to send me news stories that are inaccurate about the president. So, for instance, if the president says that we are the only country in the world that has birthright citizenship, and that's super not true, and he keeps repeating that, and the media reports that, you may not like them focusing on that, but that's the media telling the truth about the president being not truthful. To me, that's not a negative story about the president. That's just a true story about the president. So do me a favor. This is a challenge to everyone. When the news coverage is inaccurate and negative about the president, send that to me because I'll share that. I could use that education. And I'll await your text at 312-981-7200. Or you can send it to me via Facebook, or I'm John Williams at WGNRadio.com. Do you remember yesterday we were talking about how we got into this whole thing about shared spaces, right?
Yeah.
So at work, if I'm cooking fish sticks and it stinks up the whole work cafeteria,
I shouldn't be doing that.
You do not have permission to eat them at work.
Plus, you should really cook those in an oven.
That led to, what about laundromats in apartment complexes with shared laundry facilities? Is it okay to take somebody's clothes out when they're not there? Which led to, somehow or another, the shared space in an airplane and how we don't want to see people bringing Taco Bell or KFC on the plane.
And then also how we don't want to get sick.
So we were wearing those face masks.
Well, we weren't actually wearing them, but hypothetically thinking about it.
The whole conversation became that. And you see more and more people doing it these days. The first I used to see of it was of Asians.
Yes, they are the first culprits.
Asian Americans or the smartest among us. But you'd see people walking down the street with that. And I never exactly understood that. At first, I felt sorry for them. That person has some illness. They've got a face mask on.
I think they thought we had an illness.
I think
traveling.
I still think they wear those face masks because they don't want to give us their colds, but maybe it's them not wanting to get our colds. And in that case, I thought, well, now that's just a little insulting. What do you think? We're not clean enough for you? Okay. So the conversation was all over the map that way. So we called Dr. Alan Bloom, who is over at Northwestern Medicine. He is a general practitioner, I believe. Hey, doctor, are you there?
Yes, sir.
What's your discipline, sir? What kind of medicine do you practice?
I'm a family medicine practitioner. Currently, I work at the Northwestern Immediate Cares in the city and the suburbs.
Are you accepting new patients?
Anyone that wants to come in is free to walk in.
Yeah, right, in those immediate care places. Well, so
yes.
What do you make of that? Just so you heard the ramp up there to this, Doc. What do you make of people wearing those masks these days? What's that all about?
Yeah, so I haven't seen too many extensive scientific studies on this, and maybe that's something that we do need. Overall, it's kind of like hit or miss whether it's effective or not. So there is the twofold approach. Is it to protect yourself? Is it to protect others? So typically on an airplane, you're most vulnerable to get sick more so from touching surfaces than anything airborne. The first couple rows that are around you, are susceptible potentially to getting droplets or airborne-caused infections, but actually it's more so the surface that people have touched with their droplets that would tend to be more of the concern. The air filtration in the airplanes is actually pretty solid. It tends to be a little bit better than where we usually work, and it's actually a little bit more purified. So I know there's a lot of people that kind of have the misnomer that airplane, the filtration system is pretty uncomprehensive, but it's actually better than average. If I had to wear the mask or not, I would probably say no. So what are the potential theories that it would be helpful? So it would catch droplets that if you're sneezing or if you happen to unfortunately get sneezed on, it could help protect the nose and mouth. So those are two areas that can be gained access by a bug, like a flu. However, even despite catching the big droplets, it's not to say that small aerosols can't get through there. So not 100% effective.
Yeah.
What are some possible downsides to it? So some downsides to wearing the mask is that you could actually have those bugs kind of sitting on there all day if you're wearing the mask.
Oh, that's a bad
thought.
And
they're not very attractive.
And they'd be made fun of. Keep going, Doctor. We've interrupted you.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, nobody wants to get made fun of. Like, come on now. But if you do replace the mask frequently, that would mitigate the bugs sitting there all day. If it were me, personally, I don't think I would be wearing the mask just because I haven't seen all the evidence. If I had to be more focused, I'd be more focused on wiping down the tray in front of you, even touching the volume, the buzzer to get the air hostess, all those things. I would be more focused on getting clean. And then the best thing you can do is wash your hands, not touch your mouth, not touch your nose, not touch your eyes. Those are good entry points where bacteria and viruses can access the body. So we prefer to avoid that.
Right. So that's why it's not that it's the air, but it's these particles that are traveling in the air. And
they land on stuff.
They land on stuff. So then how long is that stuff alive? How long is that stuff potent or dangerous and now that it's on my armrest?
It's a good question. It depends on what the bug is. Flu can be up to 48 hours. It's not an unusual time frame. It can be even sometimes longer.
Wow.
Other bugs and viruses can be a shorter time frame or even a more significant longer time frame that it could be sitting on those surfaces.
And well, some surfaces you can't even clean. I mean, those seats, it's fabric. So once the bug is on there, you can't necessarily use a wipe to get it off, correct?
It would be harder to get a wipe off a seat. I still would recommend giving it a shot because there's no real downside to it. But you're right, it gets a little bit tougher in that type of a situation.
I thought we were overusing the handy wipes and the Purells, that we were now making ourselves, you know, we're creating a super strain of bacteria or virus because we're killing off all of the ones that these things are susceptible to, and the ones that survive are the strongest. Is there anything to that theory, Doc?
There is some validity to that. A lot of the times, especially when we have younger kids at home, we're super focused on not getting them exposed to any germs and wiping and doing all things like that. But that is actually kind of not recommended because it's good practice for the immune system to overcome and pick up mild bugs that train the immune system to be effective later on.
Right,
so
right,
that
right.
is something that is especially important in little kids. As far as creating resistance to specific bugs, it is a possibility. I haven't seen any studies necessarily to support that, but in theory, it could be the case.
Okay, well, do this for me, doctor. So I've got an 8-year-old or an 18-year-old. Should I have them doing Purell? Should we be wiping down surfaces or asking them to do it? Would that be in their best interest?
Yeah, so if someone's sick at home, then definitely our goal is not to have as many people get sick as possible. So wiping down surfaces and Purell will help mitigate the chances of getting an infection. But honestly, how it works typically is if you're going to get sick, you're typically just going to get sick. You can do your best, wash your hands, not touch your face, things like that. But a lot of the time these bugs are smart. So they'll tend to get in there if they want to.
What about wiping down, though? I mean, so a lot of techs yesterday said that they'll take those Clorox wipes or some brand, and when they get on an airplane, they do all of the surfaces. When they go to a hotel, they wipe down the remote control, the phone, anything, the TV, whatever they're going to be touching. That's not a bad idea. Would you think that's good practice?
I do. I actually think that's the most reasonable thing that we can do to help try and not get sick. So, yeah, exactly that is what I'd recommend in order to help avoid getting these bugs
and
into your system.
And wash your hands.
And wash your hands.
Yes. Wash your hands
yes,
a lot.
Ma'am, you got it.
And you know what I heard once upon a time? Tell me what you think of this, doctor. That when you wash your hands, you should pay attention to your fingertips. And you should do the ABCs while you're washing them. So you get a nice warm soapy, and then you go A, B, C, D, and you go all the way to Z. Hopefully you know the ABCs. And then when you get to the end, that will be longer than you might be accustomed to doing it, but you need to give them a good scrubbing. Your thoughts?
I completely agree. And so not only are we getting the soap that they're getting all the areas that we needed, but even rinsing, that action itself can be helpful in terms of getting rid of the bacteria as well, or the viruses.
The question is, can you do the ABCs without singing them?
Doctor, your thoughts?
No, the singing is required. If you're not singing, then I don't know what you're doing over there.
I really don't think I could do it without singing.
We'll do this. 312-981-7200. Lots of texts and calls. So here's your chance. 312-981-7200. Right now we're talking to Dr. Alan Bloom, who's over at Northwestern Medicine. He's a family practice physician, and we just got some basic nuts and bolts questions about keeping the germs off ourselves, not getting the cold and the flu, and people that wear masks or use Purell and hand sanitizers. Some common sense stuff here, Doc. John, most Japanese are wearing the mask to protect others when they have colds. It's them being polite. This one says, hey, John, I agree with the doctor. Masks work. Occasional illness during my 30-year dental career. The problem is you look funny on an airplane. 847 said, I was told to wear a mask when riding the train when I went through radiation and chemo for my protection. Upside, you get a seat to yourself on the train. Nobody wants to sit next to you. But if you have a compromised immune system, Doc, I suppose you really should be wearing the mask, huh?
Yeah, under special circumstances like that, it would the risk-reward, anything in life kind of is a risk-reward benefit. And in that case, I think your benefit would definitely outweigh any risks in that situation.
What about this text, doctor? It says, there is a vitamin supplement developed called Airborne, designed to protect you when you fly. I've been taking it every time I fly, and I take Emergen-C, no colds for 7 years. What do you think about strategies like that, doctor?
Yeah, I wish we had some good like scientific studies to completely back that up. I haven't really come across too much of that. What I would say about that is that it really wouldn't hurt. So if you're going to go for it, it would be fine to go ahead for it.
And maybe anecdotal.
Typically,
I know people that swear by that stuff.
Definitely, and that means it might work for some, and it might not work for others, which is why we wouldn't get like consensus in the scientific community about that.
Real quick, Jim, give me a quick question for the doc, and we'll wrap it up on this. You're on the air, Jim. Hi.
Good morning or good afternoon. I have read, doctor, where the common rhinovirus can be washed off with plain water.
What do you think about that? Know anything about that, doc?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that would be the case. But again, like I mentioned with washing your hands, even like wringing your hands, rinsing it off is going to be a little bit helpful, but I wouldn't think that just water by itself would be able to affect the virus at all.
Temperature is helpful, soap is helpful, and longer period of time scrubbing them is helpful. And then, like you said, give them a good rinse, too.
Exactly. What typically happens on the airplane, which a lot of people start feeling like scratchy throat, things like that, is because it's super, super dry when you're on the airplane. The humidity is way less than it is that we're used to on the ground. So a lot of the symptoms that end up coming up from the plane is actually more related to humidity versus actually getting immediately sick on the plane.
This has all been really helpful, doctor. I appreciate your time. I'm going to call you again if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Alan Bloom is one of our partners over at Northwestern Medicine. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, by the way, Steve Bertrand has the stories that matter next.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
I can't wait.
Here's John Williams.
For Wednesday. Mm-mm. I'm not alone, right? Hi, it's John. I'm in the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Aren't you excited for Tuesday?
Lord have mercy.
I'm more excited for Wednesday. You can hear this show Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. until 12 noon with newsman Doma T. Pongo. Joe Brandon Sports, Griffin Filipich does the producing. And I take the main stage on Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. I hope you join us on Saturdays as well. And don't miss the Mincing Rascals podcast featuring many of your friends here and at the Chicago Tribune. Judge this year the best podcast in the city of Chicago. We now have a new feature where we invite you to post questions, literally voice message them to us. We'll play them and respond. Speaking of responding, lots of texts on the show today. We've been getting lots of texts to the show lately. And this one says, hey, John, what was that last band you just played? But I'm already someone else's. What are we listening to?
Clean Bandit featuring Marina and the Diamonds, and it's called Baby.
Who?
Clean Bandit.
Queen Bandit?
Clean.
Clean?
Yeah.
Clean as in it's really clean?
Yes.
What the hell kind of name is that?
I don't know.
Clean Bandit, and with featuring who?
Marina and the Diamonds.
What's that?
Oh, jeez.
Marina and the Diamonds? That's not a thing. All right, Clean Bandit featuring Marina and the Diamonds, and the name of this song is...
Baby. And now this is our last dance. Fell through the cracks in my hands. Tell myself be stronger. My heart's like a rubber band, and it's such a shame.
I do like that. That's a nice choice. That's on my scale of 1 to 100. I'm giving that a 93.
Yeah, I love the guitar in this song mostly, and her operatic vocals.
The whole thing has a fun rhythm to it, doesn't it? By the way, lots of texts continue to come in about our last segment. Hey, John, I believe many Asians are wearing masks to avoid pollutants that can be high in areas in Asia. About the doctor's visit, John, I've healed many skin infections with extra virgin olive oil and raw garlic soaking in it.
Is that my mom texting?
It doesn't spoil from doing scrap jobs. Wow. Okay, Ty, thanks for that. John, I operate a business that is very busy with lots of people, therefore very bathroom intensive by the shoppers, and at least 75% of the men do not wash their hands after they exit the bathroom. It drives me crazy. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. And several texts like this, when I said a short while ago about the liberal media, listen, if you are seeing stories that are negative about the president, I'm seeing stories that I think are true about the president. So my challenge to you has been, the next time you see the media report a story that is inaccurate about the president, let me know, because I could use an education. This texter said, though, John, presidential inaccuracies. Obama once said that there were 53 states in America, I believe, and he was supposedly born in this country. John, why don't you have the people sending things good that the president does? He does a lot of good, but all you care about is his negative stuff. Get a life and then get off the radio. Go get him, John. That's a great challenge, said somebody else. And this person said, people are tired of the constant liberal hatred. The Hallmark Channel outdrew CNN recently.
Oh, the Christmas movie started, though.
I know. We're watching them at my house all the time.
I'm trying to get them on to talk about the business of that on the business lunch.
I think that's amazing.
They have two huge. They have two huge months. What do you think is their other huge month?
November and January.
No, Valentine's Day.
No, it's Mother's Day.
Oh.
Apparently, during the Mother's Day season, they just rock with sappy, badly made mom movies.
No, it's so good. It's on my TV constantly.
Sharon pointed out, because she watches sometimes, if you watch, it's like, you know, they've got fake snow and it looks like it's supposed to be cold, and then you can see people in tank tops walking behind them. And
wow. Well, it's the same three main actresses that also go in all different movies. So you're like, have I seen this one yet?
And it's always, gee, Todd, why are you sad? And then there's always some theme about Christmas or Christmas trees, like, well, the company's store is closing and they're selling artificial trees marketed on the internet as though that's a bad thing.
My dog died on a Christmas one year.
Yeah, but...
Okay, so I'm watching it the other night. This happened this week. I came home, and one of those is on. And we kind of have it in the background because it's pretty.
You don't have a Yule log going, so...
It's totally a Yule log. It's not flipping CNN, for God's sakes, which we never watch anyway. But, I mean, it's just pleasant. It soothes the room. And then I'm watching it, and I'm ticked at them this year because, once again, like Sharon Bertrand says, they spend no money on decorations and sets. So I texted Hallmark Channel. I texted them. I said, hey, at Hallmark, or I tweeted them. I said, hey, at Hallmark Channel, would it kill? I said, I'm watching another one of your Christmas movies, so that's on me, because it was in October. But would it kill you guys to spend a little money on sets? They haven't tweeted back yet.
Answer, yes. The answer is no, because you people will watch it anyway.
I love it.
Here's my conversation with Mark Neese. He is the Georgia government reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Just before the show, he had a few minutes for us, and we're talking about that most interesting governor's race down there.
Well, I have been on this job since last December. I've been primarily covering the race from the perspective of elections and democracy rather than the candidates individually, but looking at the execution of how democracy is done in Georgia and whether all votes will be counted and voting security and potential for tampering and voters being removed from the rolls and difficulties casting votes.
I guess the preservation of democracy can be seen both ways in this case, right? That is, if people are voting who should not be, then that's an infringement. Or if people are being denied, then it's an infringement. How do you see it?
Absolutely. It goes both ways on both sides. And here at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, we had a poll that came out yesterday that showed that Republicans in particular are very concerned about voter fraud and making sure that only people who are eligible to vote are able to vote. And on the other side, a high number of Democrats are concerned about voting access rather than fraud. They're concerned about people being turned away from the polls or that their votes won't be counted.
Do you have a problem, or have you, with voter fraud?
No. Voter fraud is very rare. There have been isolated cases. There was a case earlier this year where two people who had been convicted of felonies were allowed to vote, and that's not supposed to be allowed in Georgia. And last year, there were 14 canvassers who were referred for potential prosecution for allegedly falsifying or forging voter registration applications, but those cases are still open. No charges were ever brought.
Well, statistically, then, that's nothing.
Voter fraud is very rare. Now, the supporters of Georgia's laws on fraud say, well, the reason fraud is rare is because we have strict laws such as photo ID and risk maintenance practices that remove inactive or ineligible voters from the voter rolls. So is the reason we have little voter fraud because Georgia has these laws in place, or is voter fraud just rare altogether? That's kind of a question that's hard to answer.
This race, which is getting national attention, pits your Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, the Republican, against Democrat Stacey Abrams for governor. Tell me a little bit about his role in this.
As Secretary of State, he is in charge of elections oversight. That said, in Georgia, the primary responsibility for elections rests with each of the state's 159 individual counties. So while the Secretary of State does have an oversight role and compiles votes and certifies statewide election totals, a lot of the nitty-gritty administration of elections is done at the local level.
Well, talk to me a little bit about this exact law where the name has to match specifically, and if there's a problem with a letter or a hyphen or an apostrophe, then the voter is ineligible. What's going on there?
There are nearly 47,000 people on Georgia's pending list of voters, people who submitted registration applications to be able to vote, but the registrations haven't been fully processed because there was some error or mismatch with their name or their address or their social security number or their birth date. Last year, Georgia passed this exact match law, which requires that all the information on the registration application match driver's license or social security records. And when there's a mismatch, people aren't eligible to vote until they validate their IDs. So these 47,000 voters are kind of in limbo until they show some proof of identification that matches Social Security or driver's license information.
What will those people do this week, and what happens if they haven't rectified this on Election Day?
Well, on Election Day, you can show a Georgia ID or driver's license, and you'll become an active voter and able to cast a regular ballot if your photo ID substantially matches what is on file with government records. So that's the primary remedy that will help most people. If you have a driver's license and you tried to register to vote and election officials believe that your driver's license matches your registration information, that should clear up the issue. But there are others that probably will have issues, and it's impossible to know how many, but one example is U.S. citizens who have became citizens in the last few years, but driver's license records haven't been updated to show that they're now citizens.
Do you think, though, all right, but I'm going to imagine that that's a much smaller number, that the bulk of the 47,000, I know a lot of people who are first-time registrants don't have a driver's license, and it may be complicated for them, but I would assume more than half of them, say, would be able to resolve that at the polling place?
If they are actually Georgia residents and they do have photo ID, they should be able to resolve it at the polling place, and it shouldn't be an issue for many of them. Now, if they've moved out of state or if they don't have a photo ID, they could have issues.
Well, you know, I'm just rooting for common sense here. I mean, the whole thing seems so one-sided and so sinister is not the right word, but it seems so manipulative. In Chicago, can you imagine that, Mark? Even in Chicago, people think this is whack, and we don't have the greatest voting reputation up here. But I'm hopeful that it's not as bad as I've been led to believe.
There are always two sides to it. You know, Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who is running for governor, he says what you're saying is exactly right. All you need to do is show your photo ID and you'll be able to vote, which is true of people who are actually eligible voters and who show photo ID and can convince election officials that they are who they say they are, which shouldn't be that hard. The other side to it, from voting rights advocates and the campaign of Democrat Stacey Abrams for governor, says, look, you're trusting local officials to make these decisions. You're holding up registrations. You're telling people that they're pending voters instead of active voters. This might turn off some voters. It might make it harder or discourage them from actually going to the polls. If their registrations haven't been gone through, they might get a message from the government that the government doesn't want them to vote, whether this exact match law is discouraging people from voting or placing hurdles in the way of people voting.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll ever know. I mean, how can you tell? Somebody doesn't show up to vote, you don't know that they were or were not going to vote.
Yes, it is hard, although we're watching for complaints. You know, I have heard from several voters who say they encountered these issues and had to go through a whole bunch of hassle to get them resolved. Now, for the most part, the people who complain about it are the people who get it resolved, right? The real fear from people concerned about the exact match law is that they're we'll never know about the people who stay home or the people who aren't actively involved in democracy or the political process who might think, I'll vote this election and then run into hurdles and say, forget about it. It isn't worth my trouble.
Oprah Winfrey's only campaigned for two candidates in her life. One was Barack Obama, one Stacey Abrams. Mike Pence was in your state and he said, hey, I'm somebody too. Talk to me a little bit about the sort of national attention this race is getting.
Yesterday, we saw both Pence and Oprah. Oprah was going door-to-door even and trying to get voters to support Democrat Stacey Abrams. And Pence was saying, well, look, who are you going to believe, Oprah or me? And that's a good question. It might depend who you ask. It's extremely close, according to all the polls. All the polls I've seen are within the margin of error. So it really could go either way. Stacey Abrams herself is not your normal Georgia candidate for governor. You know, she's running as an unabashed liberal. If she wins, she'd become the first African-American governor in any state in the nation.
The president said she's not qualified. She said, I'm a businesswoman and a political leader. I am as qualified as anybody.
her campaign responded to that. Their response was, well, look, Stacey Abrams has been in office longer than Brian Kemp. She's also an attorney, and she also is a voting rights advocate. She founded an organization in 2013 with the express purpose of registering people to vote. Brian Kemp also has a lot of experience as Secretary of State, and he also has a business background before that, and he was also in the Georgia State Senate.
One last thing then. So speaking of the president, though, he's certainly doing everything he can to help the Republican Party nationwide, ginning up this immigration issue, talking about birthright citizenship. I don't suppose that's what you and I are talking about now, but talk to me about any coattails the president may have down there. Is he helping or hurting the party?
I think he'll help Republican voters. The President Trump, he'll be here in Georgia on Sunday campaigning for Brian Kemp. And we'll see how big of a difference it made. When he campaigned for Kemp in the Republican primary back in the spring, it made a huge difference. It swung the needle from his primary Republican candidate, Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, and it became a landslide. Kemp won the Republican primary easily when, before Trump came, it was a pretty close race. Now, the big question will be whether the president will have the same impact in a general election when you're not just appealing to Republicans. In a general election, there will be a lot of Democrats and a lot of independents also casting ballots. And we'll have to see if President Trump has the same pull among a broader base of voters beyond just Republicans.
That's Mark Neese. He is a Georgia government reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And he's talking about the exact match rule. I just saw a story that moved today, moments ago, I guess, and it says a judge has ruled on the on this particular case, that is, on the exact match rules. The News Click yesterday, our daily web poll question, asked you about that bishop downstate who spoke the truth about Santa Claus to 5th and 6th graders. In fact, they just handed me a story. They said the Illinois bishop did not tell the students the truth about Santa Claus. Nobody knew that. It was reported otherwise, or at least I was telling it that way. And so we gave you several options, and 74% of you said nobody should be talking to the kids about that. Just let Santa Claus be Santa Claus. 74%. Keep quiet. That was, I believe, Steve Bertrand's position on that News Click. We do have a new News Click for you today, and it is this.
Jimmy Kimmel, again, asked parents to tell their kids that they ate their Halloween candy. A. That's funny. The kids can handle it. B. It's funny, but you shouldn't do this to kids. C. It's not funny.
I'm A. Where are you on this, Violetta? What's your vote?
It's funny, but I think the kids know. I think we're past the point of them not knowing. And I just watched it this morning. Did you watch this season? Yeah. So they don't freak out that much anymore. It used to be temper tantrum after temper. Now they almost take like a 10-second breather. I'm like, we're teaching these kids some pretty good processing skills.
Yeah, no kidding. Where are you on this one, Ms. Garris?
I think maybe... Yeah, I mean...
Take a stand.
Why should they cry about it? It's fine.
I think the kids will recover from it. I do not understand. This is the thing that I never understood about that. The kids look bad. You know, I mean, the kids are just throwing a conniption, and it's bad behavior, and it's nothing to be proud of. And the parents send it in for national TV. So I know, well, we all get to laugh at it. I think, you know, if I was the parent or the grandparent, I'd be going, I don't think this looks good for us, guys.
So you're okay with it, too?
I said that I think that those kids can handle it. I know Bill and Wendy were in a very different place on this. You all thought it was just terrible.
I think Bill kind of liked it.
I don't get, though. I mean, you're kind of breaking trust with your kids.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, the kids can handle being lied to by the people
I think they can because
because it's going to happen a lot more in the future.
Well, I just think that those parents know that kid. And
those parents want to be on TV.
It's water off the duck's back, if you ask me. That is a phrase, isn't it? Water off a duck's back?
No.
It's water over a bridge. Which
in three,
under a
only
bridge.
Works during two, floods. One. Play the new song there, Ms. Garris. Our News Click asks you at WGNradio.com and on my Facebook page on WGN King John. Give us your thought about that. Fridays, we like to feature fun things we think you'll enjoy doing this weekend. We always start with the song. What are we listening to?
So this is the story so far, and they're actually playing Thursday at the Metro, presented by Riot Fest.
What's the name of the band?
The Story So Far.
I am out of it. You know, I don't sometimes know what the name of the band is.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the song title, versus
it's a lot of
venue, versus an undiscovered planet. So the name of the band is...
The Story So Far. We're dealing with a lot of complicated names today.
I am.
And names.
I am. Okay, The Story So Far. V, what else you got this weekend?
The Allstate Hot Chocolate 15K at Grand Park. That's Sunday morning. You get a cute shirt, hot chocolate medal. Oh, I'm sorry, a chocolate medal and hot cocoa. You can get more information and sign up. It's about $45 to $75, depending on which race you're running, at hotchocolate15k.com.
Former President Barack Obama is at the UIC Pavilion. He's going to be there Sunday at a Get the Vote Out rally. That's at 3 o'clock, so attend it or avoid it if you don't want the traffic. That's 3 o'clock on Sunday. Obama's back in town.
Yes, he is.
What else you got?
We have the Red Bull month-long music festival going on. That starts on Saturday and obviously goes all month long. It's going to be at Wintrust Arena on Saturday, but then there's different venues throughout the city. Tickets are going from $25 to $50. You have hip-hop, Atlantics, which I don't know what kind of music that is, and jazz. And you can get more information and tickets at redbull.com/events.
Day of the Dead in Chicago is Sunday from 3 to 8 o'clock at the National Museum of Mexican Art. You'll see holiday observing ofrendas, live music, face painting, and more. Free admission. Google it, Day of the Dead, National Museum of Mexican Art.
There is so much Halloween stuff still going on. Like, we cannot end the Halloween festivities.
Yeah, no kidding.
We have Smart Bars hosting a 23-hour dance party. So, that starts Saturday at 7 a.m. Doors open and goes until Sunday at 5 a.m. at the Metro. Tickets range from $20 to $40. And this sounds fun, but I it seems like a lot.
What's the matter?
23 hours of dancing.
Well, do you have to dance all 23?
No, there is a rest area. But it reminds me of, like, have you ever seen Gilmore Girls, where they do whoever keeps dancing the longest? It's like a dance-a-thon.
Yeah, right.
That sounds
too
difficult.
Much.
Yeah.
We did a promotion one time at a radio station I was working at. They used to have dance-a-thons, and you could win a car or $1,000.
Yeah, and you just have to keep moving, right?
We did a thing where you have to touch the car in the showroom, and whoever keeps their hand on the car the longest wins the car.
I've always wanted to do that.
And people would be there for days and days and days, and it usually ended badly. There were hurt feelings and disagreements and stuff like that. Listen to this. Blue Man Group, some of them were in our studio this week. They're presenting a new and darker version of the Blue Man Show at the Briar Street Theater. You might want to check that out. The official launch of it is next week, but they're already doing it. Tickets at blueman.com.
We have The Godfrey hosting a whiskey festival. That's a year-round rooftop right here in Chicago on Huron and LaSalle. That's going to be on Saturday, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. You're going to have tastings of bourbon, scotch, and whiskey. To get more information and get tickets, you can go to GodfreyWhiskeyFestival.com.
I'll do just one more, and that's the sports roundup. The big game tonight, or this weekend, is tomorrow night at Northwestern. The Wildcats take on Notre Dame. They've got a night game at Welsh Ryan, 6:15. The Bulls are in town against the Indiana Pacers tonight at the UC. And the Blackhawks face off against the Calgary Flames. That'll be tomorrow night at 9. They're on the road. You'll hear it here on WGN. All right, now you need to give us some good news in your world. Here's the number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I'll take your calls. Violetta will read your texts. Ella will answer the phones. Give us your bright side next. Now, here we go.
Some things in life are bad.
The bright side.
They can really make you mad.
Sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute.
Make you swear and curse.
There we go.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
Kevin's not here to whistle.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
All right, I'll do it. Here we go. First, we sing.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always always look on the light side.
It could be something small. It could be something grand. You call in. Tell us what your bright side is. And we'll smile with you. Okay, let's pick up some phone lines. We'll start with John. You're on WGN Radio. Hey, John, you're on the air. What's
Hi,
your good
John.
News? Hey.
Hi. My good news, my bright side, is that after today, we only have 4 more days to put up with those political ads.
Always look on the bright side.
Can a brother get an amen? Dan, you're on WGN. Hi.
Amen. Hey, John, it's Dan in Peoria. And my daughter bought a car from a stranger in Chicago, and he ended up being such a nice guy that when we made the transaction, he gave her a $50 gift certificate because she's a hardworking teacher.
Now, wait a minute. What is
I
this?
Know it.
And how does this relate to Dan DiOrio? This isn't Dan, is it?
This is Dan Phillips.
Dan, it's good to hear from you again. I read your text on the air the other day, by the way.
I heard that. My sister-in-law told me. I couldn't help, but, yeah, you sound great, John, obviously. You're doing Chicago well.
Nice of him to call. They're listening to us downstate. All right, what else you got there?
815 says, tomorrow I found out the gender of my first child, Matt, in Woodstock. And you also have some listeners right now in Maui. They're listening to Favorite Personality on the Beach.
Oh, I know. These are some of my friends, I think, the Coxes and whoever else is visiting with them. I wish I was there.
Always look on the bright side.
You know, my grade school years were in Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade.
Wow, are you a good hula dancer?
Negative. Hi, gang. Thank you for listening in Hawaii. This is Carl. You're on WGN. Hi, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, John? Hey, John, I saw a couple really good concerts recently. Chris Botti at the Chicago Theater. And, hey, John, do you remember Lisa Stansfield from years ago?
Yeah.
I saw her at the Vic. She was really good also.
Hi, boy, Carl. Thanks for the call. Violetta, go.
224, my son recently got engaged, and we're having a bonfire engagement party to celebrate.
Kelly, you're on WGN. What's your good news?
Hi, John. My husband and I are crawling in traffic on the way down to U of I for Dad's weekend.
Nice.
You going to go to the game this weekend?
I think we're going to go to the basketball game tonight.
The basketball game? They have a scrimmage or something?
They're playing Wesleyan.
No kidding.
I don't know if it's a real game or not.
It wouldn't be regular season. That's crazy. Well, the football team's not doing so well, so I hope the basketball team has more fun this year.
So do I.
Have a great trip, Kelly. Thanks for thinking of us.
Thanks, John.
Go.
847, my family is going to be together for the holidays for the first time in 5 years. And 312, my good news is the 2016 blood clot found in my right leg is gone.
Hooray for that. And you're on WGN. What's some good news in Nan's household?
Hi, John. We're going to be celebrating my son's 16th birthday on Monday.
Yay!
Oh, 16th birthday. So he gets to drive now. Is that right?
He still has to take driver's ed, but he will be driving soon.
Yeah. Are you happy about that or terrified of that?
A little bit of both.
I'm getting it. Thanks for the phone call. We'll go from you to Carol. You're on WGN. Carol, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
In 5 days, I will be cancer-free for 2 years.
Woohoo! Carol. I'm so glad for you. You got to call me in 3 years, and 4 years, and 5 years, okay?
I will.
Just your lips and
go with
630 says Starbucks gingerbread latte is here. Plus, they're running the hot chocolate 15K on Sunday. More and more chocolate. Woohoo.
David, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Dave?
I am smiling very big. Yesterday afternoon, my adult son went to the IU Medical Center in Indianapolis and found out the first physician's diagnosis was wrong. He does not have ALS.
He does not have ALS.
Yes. So he went from a death sentence to not.
Oh, my God. What was that meeting with the doctor like, huh?
It was like a lot of people crying, is what it was like.
David, my best to you and your family. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thought he had it, he doesn't. How about that?
always look on.
708 says, my dad just called. His leukemia treatment is working. Blood work has shown big improvement.
Lots of medical ones today. Why not? If you got your health, you've got everything. Hey, Ben, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
John, big listener, buddy. Hey, I did go get my shots in May, and I'm a new person at the Knee Institute. Just want to give out a big shout, and for all you procrastinators out there, go do it. The best thing ever.
You went to the Joint Relief Institute?
Yes, sir, in May.
You called 708-888-0000, as in zero pain?
Absolutely, that's right.
Benjamin, thanks for the call. We do this on Fridays. You call in, tell us why you're smiling. You got one more for us, Ms. Potomac?
I do. 847 just got her carpets cleaned. Come on.
If it's making you happy, it's happiness. What do you got, Ms. Garris?
Our listener Marlene wanted to tell you that she loves Texas. She just moved from Naperville.
She loves Texas.
She just moved from Naperville.
Well, we miss you, but I'm glad you're having a good time down there, and thanks for listening.
All my exes live in Texas.
Here's what we do. We got to take a break here, don't we? Ro and Anna are right around the corner. We'll do this again next Friday on WGN.